devil's advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Some say the greatest radio show ever. Make sure you check us out on the socials, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio, on Twitter at Devil Radio. And if you miss any of this fine show, check out the podcast at darnwi.com.
Dom, that's the great thing about radio. Repetition. You say it enough, people start believing it. We do have the finest of guests. He is James Santel, former U.S. attorney, our good friend. Jim, always appreciate you coming around. And I believe you're coming in from the bullpen on Tuesday and filling in for the boys.
That is correct. I'll be talking about January 6th, no doubt, that afternoon.
Well, the January 6th hearings, the live hearings and the gavel-to-gavel coverage on Devil Radio and the Shaw, they renew on Tuesday. We're going to play them live, and then, Jim, you get to come and knock them down, man. I hope it's good stuff. Jim, here's something I've noted separate of the January 6th committee activities, and I've actually taken a lot of heart from this. Jeffrey Clark was effectively searched, right? Jeffrey Clark, he was the Department of Justice official, the guy that was going to move up the food chain rapidly if Trump had his way. And so was Eastman. And I sometimes, you know, forget there are so many multiple coup plots happening at the same time. I sometimes, pardon me, confuse those two malfeasant attorneys. But Eastman has also been searched by the Department of Justice, I believe, Jim. Well, that's pretty significant. I mean, these are pretty high up. Clark was in the Department of Justice. Eastman also, right, part of the Department of Justice.
Right. And authoring memorandums, Eastman was, about how to make this all happen. I mean, his is the fountainhead from which all this springs. He puts together this design. We've got a judge in California who looks at all those emails, looks at the Eastman products and says, yes, President of the United States of America, the former president, committed crimes. A lot going on here. And again, to underscore what we have chatted about at great length, your listeners know this well, in order for the federal government to get a warrant to search, this isn't just some random decision by agents some morning waking up and saying, gosh, I wonder what John Eastman may have in his home, or I wonder what Jeffrey Clark may have in his home. Stunning, a former Department of Justice high-level supervisor, superior there, having his home searched, his records taken. What that means is that a federal judge looked at the evidence presented by an assistant U.S. attorney, others from the FBI, other places within the government, and said, you know what? There is probable cause to believe that if you go into those places that are owned and operated by the Eastmans and by the Clarks of the world, you will find what? Evidence of a criminal offense, evidence of a crime. That's as clear as you can state it right now. We don't know. It's certainly not evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. We're not convicting anybody of that. But there has to be that judicial finding as a predicate to go in the first place, which means that again, it'll be fascinating one day to get a hold of those affidavits that are put together in support of the search warrants, because they would lay out an awful lot. You'd have to stay on the radio 24 hours a day to get through all the material that I suspect are in the Eastman and the Clark affidavits alone to support that law enforcement activity that did just take place. And right now, of course, what's happening is those agents have got all that material. What are they doing? Just like the IT people at the J6 committee, they're spending all their time pouring through all those documents, electronic and otherwise, trying to figure out what they've got and what that criminality looks like based upon the materials that they have seized. It's a huge undertaking, but it's also very significant in the course of this investigation.
Jim, I'm going to confess on behalf of the panel, it's the last Friday night of Summerfest. Dom's not doing the homework. Our fine guest, James Santel, he is a former U.S. attorney, currently a fine host right here on the Shaw. Get up Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. And Jim, you should have plenty to talk about. And I haven't seen it confirmed, but I understand, are they doing a prime time next week, Thursday? Is that what we understand? Have they scheduled?
Right. That's what I'd heard also just before we got on the air right now, just checked on that. And it appears that Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney and Adam and all the Adams and so forth on the committee are confirming just that. So if this is in some way, it's not the end, plainly, but if it's the bookend of what we saw a couple of weeks ago, this could be very, very significant again, probably bringing together a lot of the tendrils, a lot of those pieces out there and summarizing them for a primetime audience. We know that even some of the daytime audiences are high visibility programs, and they're getting a lot of viewers. that could be, again, at the same level as what we saw a couple of weeks ago.
And, Jim, you know, we've talked about this all the way back to the missed opportunity that was the Mueller public hearings, effectively. And of course, the incongruence of the Jim Jordans of the world jumping in, you know, people just basically throwing random allegations, taking the conversation in so many different directions. And these hearings have not been, they've not been filled with propaganda and misdirection, Jim. They've stayed very much on track. So I ask you, sir, do you think they're moving the needle?
I do. I think that, again, not just because of polling out there and the ratings, if you will, from television, but in my very limited, very anecdotal sense of talking with people who do not have time to watch all this. They are watching summaries of it. They're watching the evening programs. They're reading the headlines, and they're also reading the text that follows those headlines. And I think they are getting a much better sense now, certainly than the Mueller testimony did a couple of years ago, of what happened before, during, and after January 6th. I do think it's moving the needle. It doesn't have to do anything in terms of the Department of Justice. We know that we know with clarity now that Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco are pursuing aspects of this, not only the false electors, but probably other things. We talked about those already. It doesn't have to move them, but it does have to move the American public. If and when the time comes for an indictment of these top-level people, including perhaps Donald John Trump, then the American public has got to be ready to embrace that, or at a minimum, understand where it's coming from. That's the impact of what the J6 committee is doing.
Begs the question, Counselor, why Steve Bannon? Why would Trump free Steve Bannon exculpatory testimony?
Because Steve Bannon's on the hook already. Trump's trying to make it as best look for him as he possibly can.
The only person out there will say something nice about him these days.
Well, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. But we got another half an hour, so Jim, you better stick around, man. We're going to pull some less than nice statements out of you, because we've got a Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling that doesn't make a bit of sense, sir, at least in my opinion. But, you know, I didn't go to law school or what'd you take twice, Dom?
The LSAT.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
Not great.
Come back, more Devils.
I'm holding you in contempt of court.